So when I heard you were doing an 8-hour piece designed for listening while you're sleeping, the first thing that came to mind was maybe you were doing a recomposed Goldberg Variations or something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Goldberg is one of the, in a way, one of the sources. I mean, we have this lovely story, which we don't know if it's true or not, about the circumstances of its, commission and composition to accompany the insomnia of this count. I mean, no one knows if that's real, but I liked it as a sort of, as a little sort of jumping off point, really.
So that was one of your inspirations, you would say?
In a way, I mean, for two reasons, really. First of all, the origin story, and the second thing is the variation form. I really like variation forms. I mean, Memory House, my first sort of release project, is a big set of variations. And I'm constantly returning to that idea. I like the architectural possibilities of variation form. And it struck me that, you know, if I was sleeping and I woke up for a bit, you know, in the middle of the night, I'd want to know where I was. And the thing about variations is you always have the same sort of identity, the same kind of DNA in the material. And so it, you know, my theory is it would feel like a sort of recognizable landscape, even if you didn't quite know where you were. You'd sort of recognize things.
Well, you call it an 8-hour lullaby, and that brings up the image of a cradle. So that ties into what you're saying, kind of a musical cradle, something that's comfortable,
yes,
recognizable to the mind.
Absolutely, yes.
Just give us describe the idea behind the album for people who don't know. This is music designed to be listened to at night, hence the 8 hours while you're sleeping.
Yes, that's right. I wanted to try and explore the sleep state as a place for music to happen, and to try and, in a way it's an experiment, you know, to try and see how music and consciousness could interact in this different space. I mean, we're all very used to, listening intentionally, and that's a very sort of analytical state. But there's another state, and that's to do more with inhabiting a landscape. And that's what this 8-hour piece is, really. It's a landscape to sort of voyage through while sleeping. And I would say the difference really is one between listening and hearing. And for me, the 8-hour piece is about hearing.
But you also call it a manifesto. It has political overtones for you. You say it's a manifesto for a slower pace of existence. So you're actually saying something actively through the concept of this piece, aren't you?
Yes. I mean, that's one of the other sort of things that's feeding into the project. And this is really to do with our data universe, the universe of information we live in. Which I have a feeling, really. I mean, this has really exploded over the last few years, and we have a sort of very one-dimensional engagement with information, just because there's so much of it. We're bombarded, and it means that we can't really give our attention to things properly. So, I see this 8-hour piece. One of the other ways of thinking about it is like a sort of giant pause button. You know, you're engaging with one object for 8 hours. It connects a little bit to, you know, the durational movement in fine art, you know, people like Marina Abramovich, where you've got sort of one thing happening and you pay attention to that. Has its roots also, I guess, in minimalism, in, you know, the minimalism of the, you might call the sort of hardcore 60s minimalism.
Well, like much of your music, given your stage work and your film work, and obviously it has a kind of a, a theatrical element to it, a visual cinematic element to it, and that really comes into focus looking at the CD version of it, the shorter version, which has titles for each of the tracks. You have kind of larger titles of Dream and Space and Path, and then you have little subtitles in parentheses. And it almost gives a sense of a program. Is there a programmatic element to this piece?
No, there isn't. I mean, the titles are, they're jumping off points, they're provocations, enthusiasms. I mean, mostly they're taken from literature.
Well, I wondered if the first one was a Dante reference, I see, In the Midst of My Life.
Yeah, exactly. It's about, you know, being in the middle of things and finding... You know, he says, you know, in the midst of my life, I find myself in a dark wood where the true way is lost, from the Divine Comedy. And it's really a question mark, you know. We're in the middle of things. We're surrounded, again, going back to this information universe we inhabit. You know, we're surrounded by a lot of stuff. And it's difficult, really, to curate that in a way, individually, that makes sense. You know, it's very, very challenging and very demanding to kind of structure all of that information.
How long have you been thinking about this piece, and how long did you spend writing it?
Well, I mean, for me, the process of writing is more or less a continuous thing, and the individual pieces are almost... They're like, they've got sort of dotted lines around them, but really, you know, I'm always sort of just writing. So, I mean, this piece, in a way, I've been carrying around the ideas for years and years. But the sort of active writing phase, I suppose, has been in the last couple of years, something like that.
Is there any improvisation involved in this, or did you work with your instrumentalists in creating the recording?
No, the recording is, it's written down music. I mean, there are obviously within the 8-hour section, there are extended stretches where it gets very sort of coloristic or ambient. And, you know, that music is still written down, but it's very rudimentary what's on the page. And, you know, deliberately, it's very, very simple and reduced. But yes, it's a scored work.
And, well, it's a fairly simple group of instruments.
Exactly.
What is the instrumentation?
The instrumentation is a string quintet. Two cellos, two sopranos, and then a number of different keyboards, piano, organ, and various synthesizers and computers.
There's a lovely video trailer that's available on your website. I know it's on YouTube also. But in that trailer, you mentioned that the recording process was a little bit challenging in some ways. And can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, I think this all stems from our expectations, really. You know, we're all used to being in recording studios, and everyone, you know, it's very efficient and fast, and, you know, we just get stuff done, you know. So there's a sort of, there's quite a lot of adrenaline in recording sessions usually. Of course, with this project, you know, because everything is incredibly slow and very quiet, and, you know, extremely extended durations, all of those assumptions about how we record had to kind of go out the window, you know, so we wouldn't just sort of do a take. You know, we'll do a take and it'll last, you know, an hour. And if you want to listen to that take, well, that takes another hour, you know. So it kind of just actually even the process of working on the piece really slowed us down. And it's quite interesting, actually, to have to do that.
Nobody fell asleep in the recording sessions, though.
Well, no. I mean, that's the paradoxical thing about this, you know. I mean, for string players especially... You know, long, slow notes are, you know, that's basically the hardest thing they ever get to do. You know, it's especially quiet, sustained tones, which have to have a sort of a, you know, a great beauty and a great shape. And intentionality. I mean, it needs immense concentration and it's physically very demanding for them.
And I imagine the full live version in performance must require incredible stamina from the players.
Well, it's a marathon, yeah. It is. I mean, I should say that they don't all play all the time. So, you know, they do get, individual players get little pauses here and there. I think it would be impossible to do it, you know, if they were playing continuously, everyone. It would just be too hard.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a marathon, yeah.
Now, the live concert premieres, set the scene for us, because it's been described as a classical slumber party.
It's a bit like that. Somebody else said it was an anti-rave, which I quite liked. You know, it's all night music, but sort of the opposite of what you'd expect. Yes, I mean, we're playing it in the round in an old power station, which is a big concrete box with a 20-second reverb. And the audience have, everyone gets a bed. And so we have around 500 beds just around the band. Audience arrives, goes to bed, and we start playing.
Do you know what kind of beds you're getting? Are they double or full? Or what kind of a mattress can we look forward to?
Yes, I'm not sure, actually, to be honest.
Well, you want it to be comfortable, I assume.
Yes, very important. Yes, I mean, you know, you want it to be as comfortable and relaxing as possible so that people do actually go to sleep.
I know that you consulted with a neuroscientist while
Yes.
you were working on the piece.
Mm.
Can you talk a little bit about how you hope this piece will affect people that actually listen to it while they're sleeping?
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously my sort of entry point to this material was really, you know, a musical, imaginative one, you might say. But I wanted to just reflect a little bit on, you know, the neuroscience of sleep. Just in case, you know, I ended up writing something inadvertently which was, you know, disastrous for the sleep process, which I didn't want to do. So I spoke with David Eagleman, who I've worked with before on an opera of mine. And, or in fact, an opera of his, I should say. It's his book, after all. So we consulted a little bit on, you know, what was going on in the brain at various parts of sleep. And it turns out that it's actually quite a good moment to be doing this, because neuroscience has unpicked the sleeping mind quite a bit over the last 2 or 3 years. And one thing which particularly struck me was this area of sleep which comes around roughly 90 minutes, every 90 minutes overnight, called slow wave sleep. And this is a sort of moment where all the neuronal activity in the brain goes into phase. So you get this singular sort of slow wave, roughly 10 hertz or so. And I found this fascinating, because mostly when the brain is sleeping, there's just a jumble of electromagnetic sort of static, really. That's one of the things that causes dreaming and, you know, all of this. It's just a sort of it's like a data dump of just messy noise coming out of the brain. And then, once in a while, everything just goes into this phase pattern. And it turns out that this bit of sleeping is where we consolidate learning and memory and do all sorts of structuring activities and all these good things, you know? And these are all the good things that, you know, give rise to the phrase, you know, well, I need to sleep on that. Because we really do, you know, we do stuff during that part of sleeping. We sort of, you know, gather our knowledge and thoughts together and memory and learning and basically, people have been looking at ways to induce this in sleep because clearly it's very beneficial to us.
Have you tried it yourself with your own music?
Well, I can't, unfortunately. I can't sleep when music's playing. Because all I'm thinking about is, oh, that's an interesting bit of part writing. Or I wonder about that reverb. Or, you know, I just can't.
Right.
I can't actually switch off. But It turns out that you can induce slow wave sleep with sound, and that's really one of the things that I wanted to try and incorporate into the composing process. I mean, for me, sleep has always been the kind of reservoir of everything, really, and I feel very blessed that I sleep well. You know, our society generally is chronically underslept, and you know, that is one of the starting points for the piece too. You know, this idea of trying to make an environment which will foster that state, because, you know, for me personally, it's where all my work's done, and I think probably for many artists, I probably feel the same.
Max Richter, who joined us today from Studio 5 in London. Your latest project is Sleep, which will be available, as I mentioned, in the full version, also a shorter CD-friendly version. And you can watch a video trailer for Sleep at maxrichtermusic.com. We'll also link to that from our website at wgte.org. Max, thank you so much for joining us here today on FM 91.
Thank you.